this is my opinion and it could be controversial, but how much Western modern medicine is leaving out of the equation when it comes to treating the whole. They will treat the ailment, the symptom, but what is the root cause? The system is broken.
I am joined by Whitney Burnaby, a professional sound healer. When did this whole journey start?
So me as a child, I really felt like there was just so much more to a person than really meets the eye. I felt it necessary to suppress these sensations and these thoughts that I could not explain because it wasn't considered acceptable. So when I was in corporate America, I was looking at myself in the mirror and asking, who am I? It wasn't until I sought alternative medicine practitioners that I really started to heal.
Today, at 36, how do you feel physically compared to how you did when you were 27?
I feel younger now, and I look younger, and I look better than I did when I was 25. I do feel so much lighter now, emotionally, energetically, and mentally. And I think it's because I'm living more authentically. If you live from your authentic self, you will feel so much lighter because it's your truth.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Found Generation podcast. I'm here in downtown Portsmouth at Empowered Aura, and I am joined by Whitney Burnaby, a professional sound healer. This is something I'm very fascinated by. Whitney, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for having me in your lovely space that I can already feel my energy shifting. I love what you've done with it. Before we really get into your journey, I would really think it'd be beneficial for the audience just to know what exactly it is we're about to talk about. So can you just give us a quick definition of energy healing?
Thanks, Troy. I'm happy to be here. Excited to talk about sound healing and energy healing. So to me, energy healing means working with a person's energy field, the electromagnetic field that extends beyond the physical body in order to assist them with anything that could be ailing them or any specific intention. And it involves holistic tools and techniques, but it really has to do with mind, body, and soul. So it's an alternative healing. It's a quantum healing. And there are many facets to it.
Okay. Well, I'm very excited to talk about the many facets of these. This is something that I imagine it, you know, I've heard more and more about energy healing in the past couple of years, but I think it's still, even though it's been around forever, I know this is something that dates back to ancient times, feels like it's only just starting to really gain some momentum. So I'm just curious for you, when did this whole journey start? As a child, were you interested in this, or is this something that came to you later in life?
Yeah. So, to hit on your first point, I definitely think here in the Western world, we've been slower to adopt what energy healing has to offer. Whereas in some ancient civilizations and perhaps in the Eastern medicine traditions, energy healing has been dominant for millennia. So me as a child, I really felt like there was just so much more to a person, more depth, more to healing than really meets the eye. And I sensed a lot as a child. I guess you can call it intuition, sensations. But for me, I didn't have outlets or validations really that were supportive of that. And it's neither bad nor good. It was just my journey. So I really shied away from things that I was sensing beyond our five physical senses, and kind of just went more a conventional route. And something called conditioning happened. It happens to everyone. So that's kind of what happened to me, but I definitely sensed it as a child.
What exactly were you sensing, if you could put that into words?
Other people's emotions, deeply. And I think the word empath has been thrown around quite a lot. It's very commonly used, but it was more than just being an empath. It was really, I honestly felt physical sensations when I was around different people. It wasn't just my family. It could have been strangers. And that continued through my life. But as I progressed to teenage years and into my 20s, especially, the more I tried to shut that down, the more my physical body would respond. And it wasn't always in the best way. Oftentimes it could result in physical reactions or illnesses, and being sick as well. And not allowing, I think, what we all have as innate gifts to come to the surface. If we suppress that, it will manifest, really as an illness or an injury or dis-ease.
Why did you feel it was necessary to suppress this part of yourself?
Oh, I love that question. At the time, in my journey of awareness, we're all on a different journey. We're all on a different path. And we all wake up at a different time in life. And sometimes people never, quote, wake up. They're really, you know, status quo. And that's fine. That's their journey. And we all have a choice. I felt it necessary to suppress these sensations and these emotions and these thoughts that I could not explain, because it wasn't considered acceptable. And because everyone around you thinks it's a little crazy. And for me, you know, some people say, okay, well, you think that's crazy, I'm going to go my way anyways. Well, for me, I just didn't find that my path was supported in that. So I chose the route that was supported. You go to school, you play sports, you get grades, you go get a great job, and this is how we live life here in the 3D world. And I found that that really was not healthy for me, nor productive. And that's really why I'm here today. So,
when you expressed this part of yourself growing up, what kind of feedback was it met with?
Honestly, that the things that I was told are, that's crazy, that's witchcraft. You know, it's woo-woo. You know, come on, get with it. How would you know that? And many things that I felt oftentimes came true. And again, I'm not an anomaly. We all as human beings are energy beings as well. And we all come into this world as babies with innate gifts. And then we go through life. And depending on your childhood, your familial structure, depending on, you know, where you're born, you are then conditioned, right? And normally, one would hope it's in the best way that your parents or your guardians could do for you, because that's the best way and that they knew how. But in our conditioning, our innate spiritual gifts and our intuitions are suppressed. And it's up to us to wake up throughout life.
This conditioning kind of led you to not physically feeling your best, injury, sickness. What exactly were you going through that was being caused, in your opinion, due to your suppression for your true self?
The first major injury I had, I mean, many would say it was sports induced, but it was so acute. I believe that there was more to it than just physical. I think it had to do with what was in my energy field that I would not allow to come to the surface. I had a severe back injury when I was 15, and I fractured 3 vertebrae in my spine, and I was in a brace for some time. And it was so disturbing for me, because I went from being this varsity athlete in high school, and I was freshman, sophomore, and just working out every day, feeling amazing, strong, to I couldn't do anything. I was just laid up in bed, couldn't really go to school. And I recovered. And because I was young, I think I recovered quicker than they anticipated. But that injury when I was 15 has manifested twice since. And I'm going to be 36 this week. So because I didn't listen to what wanted to come to the surface, it almost brought me to my knees. It broke me. And I truly believe that when someone has an injury or an illness that is chronic, it is your body trying to tell you to pay attention. What are you not listening to? And it's not just, what is my mind saying? It is, what are you not paying attention to internally? Your body is at the end of the spectrum when it comes to energy healing. So you have your energy field and, you know, your thoughts contribute to your energy field and we can manifest things, right? So your energy field is holding everything. If you don't allow it to manifest, it gets stuck. Or if you don't allow an emotion to fully express itself, could be elation, it could be sadness, you know, depression, it could be anything. If that is suppressed, it will eventually manifest physically. So to answer your question, the first injury I had was a severe back injury when I was 15. And I didn't pay attention, continued through life. And it literally broke me again when I was 27. And it was, that was really, I was like, okay, I can't turn away from this. And that was a turning point.
What happened at 27?
See, here's the funny thing is I saw some of the best specialists and orthopedic surgeons, and they could not identify anything and they couldn't diagnose me. But over the span of about 10 months, I went from having, hip pain. I was doing yoga 5 days a week. I was running. I was fit and feeling great. But emotionally and mentally, I wasn't great. And what started with some hip pain and, oh my God, my back hurts, maybe I'll take some time off, led to just a progression that I could have never imagined, where I had hip dysplasia. I was completely out of alignment, my spinal column. And over the course of 10 months, I really couldn't exercise anymore. And I had severe pain at a level I cannot even describe, just every day. And my social life just stopped. I couldn't go out. I just didn't know how to not be in pain anymore. So in a nutshell, you know, this is kind of my journey into alternative medicine, which had already started, but this is really where I tried to seek treatments because all of the drugs, all of the painkillers, all of the pharmaceuticals that I was being given that were serious pills, like narcotics, were not working. And not only would they suppress everything that I was feeling pain-wise, they would suppress my mind. And the doctors, a number of specialists said, we need to do surgery. We need to fuse your spinal column. You need a steel rod in there. And I'm like, doesn't make sense. So to make a long story short, I went through a period of about 3 years living with this pain. I was like 35 pounds heavier, which at 5'2 was a lot of weight to carry. And it wasn't until I sought alternative medicine practitioners that I really started to heal. And that was a journey in itself, but it made me realize how much, this is my opinion, and it could be controversial, but how much Western modern medicine is leaving out of the equation when it comes to treating the whole. They will treat the ailment, the symptom, but what is the root cause? So I don't know if that answers your question.
Why doesn't Western medicine do that? If at the end of the day, the entire point of medicine, of doctors, is to heal people in the most effective way possible.
I love this question. Let me preface it by saying I have immense respect for medical doctors, clinical workers, practitioners. They are angels on the front line. But I think the system is broken. And I think a lot of people will agree with that. The system is broken because the system does not promote or encourage, like truly promote and encourage preventative holistic care. The system is for a capitalist society that wants to keep people, it's a business model, dependent. Now, the people working there may not want to keep the patients dependent on them, but the system in and of itself really does promote dependency on drugs, pharmaceuticals, the care. If you go to countries like Japan, India, you study Native American medicine, they don't want to keep you dependent upon what the healing. They want you to be healed holistically at the root, and they want you to move on and live your life. And that's what we should be doing as humans. Notwithstanding that, there could be people with chronic illnesses that really depend on ongoing care. I just feel like there's a piece of the puzzle that modern Western medicine is really missing. And it's almost like a renaissance that's happening, or a new birth, I should say, not even a renaissance, a new birth here. And that's kind of why we're having this conversation. There's a lot of people doing work like this in different modalities. But it has to, you have to approach the whole, not just the pieces.
I should say that part of your conditioning journey led you to actually work in real Western medical care, you know, what we know as mainstream medicine. So I'm curious, while you were working in that traditional form of medicine, did you feel at odds with yourself, knowing that you had this these kind of intuitive powers and you believed in it? Was that hard for you to work in that field?
Yes. I say yes again. Yes. So first of all, I want to, intuitive powers, it's a very interesting term, because we all have them, but it's like anything. It's like a sport. It's like something that you specialize in where you have to practice at it, right? So, if you're exercising your intuition, it's going to expand, and that's for any human. But yes, I felt completely at odds, with my previous work, and my employers were phenomenal. I had amazing roles, and I was very lucky to work in three various employers, that I was with for a while, each of them. And I'm very thankful for those opportunities, but sometimes you have to learn what something is not in order to learn what something is. So for me, those things were not in alignment with me, even though that's what I thought success was. I thought success was getting involved with an amazing company, climbing the ladder, reaching for more. And I realized I really had a hard time getting out of bed in the morning doing my job, because the things I was trying to promote and sell to clinicians, to medical doctors, to a hospital administration were things that in my heart, they may work, you know, based on the company's practices, but in my heart, I don't believe in. And it was very hard. So that's why eventually I left. Yeah.
Now that eventually you spent 15 years there. So at what point did you really start to feel uneasy? Why did you stay there so long? And see, I'm asking you three questions. Do you regret staying there so long?
I do not regret staying there so long. I think nothing happens in this world by accident. There is a meaning for everything. And there are no coincidences either. It was a very timely departure that I made from my last company. I was so blessed to have that role. And if I didn't have that role, I know that you mentioned you love traveling. And if I didn't have that role, I wouldn't have been able to take about a year and a half to be a nomad, so to speak, and travel the country at my leisure with my dog in an RV. And during that time, I did some of my most profound healing for myself. And it helped me to come back here and establish this finally, physically, in this location, whereas previously I'd just been seeing people in my home, based off word of mouth and referral. So I don't regret staying there that long. I think it was very purposeful. But it was very clear to me when I needed to leave. Yeah.
One of my favorite sayings is sometimes the wrong thing leads you to the right thing, and you can't get to the right thing without first having known this is what I don't want. And it also gives you such incredible experience as well while you're trying to figure out who you are. So that's awesome. You struck a chord with me, travel. Now I have to go down this rabbit hole. Year and a half, RV, and some of your most profound work. Where did you go and why was this such an incredible experience for you?
Well, I mean, we could be here till next week talking about it. And eventually I'd love to publish something about the lessons and things that I learned along the road. No pun intended. I bought a Sprinter van, and I converted it with the help of my brother, and it basically was a sustainable tiny home on wheels. And I always had this image in my head when I was little that I would just make this mass exodus from my reality. And it always stuck with me. And it was well prior to the pandemic. I'm talking like through my teenage years, I just felt like I needed to just go and be with nobody but myself. There was just so much noise in my life. And I think a lot of people feel this. I really didn't have a ton of support with my decision. Even being a 33-year-old woman, like I could do what I want. I felt like a lot of people would be super supportive and a lot of people thought it was nuts. And so to initiate the journey, part of it was really standing here, like in the light, and you know, it's okay that people really don't want me to do this. So I left, and I went all the way to the Northwest where I really wanted to spend a lot of time. I spent a lot of time in the wilderness, like alone, away from people, civilization, a lot of time in national forests. And I was very fortunate to see amazing, like vast, grand natural landscapes and wonders that I wouldn't have had the opportunity to do otherwise. And it is profound what you can experience when there isn't noise, there isn't 3D distractions, because we have so much of that in our life. You could walk out the door and you think you're not distracted because you're solo. You walk out the door, signage, Starbucks, like, oh, I see friends. There's a lot of distraction. So I really got to listen to me. And I honestly feel I got to hear the heartbeat of Mother Earth as well, because I was in places where I was completely off grid. There was no connection, so far remote. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Schumann Resonance. No? So for those of you who don't know, the Schumann Resonance is basically considered the heartbeat of Mother Earth. It is a hertz frequency, about 7.83. So it's a sound frequency that we don't hear because we operate through it every day of our lives. But that is the background electromagnetic field of Mother Earth. And when you get so far away from light pollution and sound pollution, your hearing changes. And I never experienced this before. And this is probably the most profound thing. Completely silent. And yet your ears are like, it's this, the silence is deafening. I don't know how else to describe it. And when I came back to civilization here, and when I went to cities, you know, I have a very hard time being in loud places, like in a bar, forget it. Or, you know, I love concerts, I love music, but I think your hearing really can reset. And there's a lot of studies that are done with like quiet rooms and stuff, but that was probably the most profound thing that I realized upon my return. There was a lot of internal shifts as well. And again, we could be here till next week talking about it.
The hardest thing for people to do, in especially in the modern world, is to be alone with themselves. Yes. With nothing else.
Yes.
No toys to play with.
Yes.
In silence.
Yep.
A lot of people would run away from that experience.
Yeah.
You ran toward it.
Completely.
How hard was that?
To be honest, I didn't know where else to run. All I knew is that I needed to be alone with myself so I could finally have true clarity and true direction. Because I'll tell you, Troy, I don't know if you've ever felt this or if anyone listening to this has ever felt this, but I got to a point in my life, so when I was in corporate America, where I was looking at myself in the mirror and I had a great life from the outside, but I'm looking in the mirror and asking, who am I? And I wasn't the salesperson that, you know, my resume says. I wasn't like this person with all the stats. Like, who am I? And it was kind of tough. I knew that I wasn't this identity that I had created based on a perception of success that I had been told, like, this is where you should feel fulfilled. These are the boxes that you should check off as you go through life, whether you're male or female or whoever you identify as, but as someone who identifies as a woman in her 30s, like I did everything, you know, I was supposed to do. Why do I feel such a void? And I was listening to my intuition, and that's what made me take this journey. And it can be very jarring to be by yourself for a extended period of time. I think it is necessary. And you may actually realize, you know, your life that you have created, well, that doesn't quite make sense. I'd like to do this. And it may not make sense to your mind, but it makes sense to your heart. So yeah, was able to follow that. And I feel fortunate that I had the experience to do that.
So you return from this 18-month journey, and then what happens? What was your first step towards building this new life that you wanted to create for yourself?
Well, during the journey, it became very clear to me during the last 3 months, I came back before I thought I'd come back. I really thought I'd be out, you know, for maybe 2 years. I actually told my family and my friends, I don't know if I'm coming back. I don't know when, I don't know if, I don't know what's going to happen. Anything could happen. But there was a point in time where I was actually out in the desert in Lake Havasu, Arizona, where I was doing a lot of meditations, and it became very clear to me to go back, don't sequester, and like, you've gotten the clarity you need, and go back and build this business, bring it to the forefront, birth it, rather than just, you know, me keep traveling, or rather than just get an apartment, get a home somewhere and keep it in your home, like make it come out into the open. So I came back, and I mean, I think I got back in March of last year, 2023. And within 2 months, like everything just fell into place. This space, just the LLC, the filings, everything I needed to do just fell into place. And that was very timely as well. So that's what I've been doing.
So what was the business that you had in mind for yourself that is now ultimately where we are sitting here today?
So this is really me expressed outwardly, I guess, Empowered Aura. And this is the space we're sitting in, and it's focused on sound healing and energy healing. I do a couple different modalities, but really it's about clients being able to come in here individually or for group sessions, and being able to relax, reset, recalibrate, be grounded, and feel a shift in their energy based on whatever it is that they need. And I want to be here to assist people and facilitate them being able to feel a higher vibration and frequency within themselves. So that's where we are today.
I don't think there's any universities that study, like, is sound healing a major anywhere? I'm just curious, what's the education, the certification process for this kind of work?
It should be a major, I think. I have heard and I've read of, there's a couple universities that are now enrolling students in what they call intuitive studies or holistic studies. I really think in the next 10 years, in the next decade, we're going to see that become a vocation. I think in major school systems, it has to be a part of it. There's too much going on in the world and too many people who are waking up sooner in their lives where we can't ignore it. You can't just go through schooling and saying, here's what you have to know. And, you know, kids memorize it and they regurgitate it and they move on. But there are fields of study, and there are institutes that offer certifications in sound healing and in energy work. So like the field of cymatics, I don't know if you're familiar with it. So cymatics is really, the field of study when it comes to sound, and it has to do a lot with musicality, but how does sound transform and impact a human or a living being? So my certifications, I do have certifications. One is from, my primary modality is called biofield tuning, and it's from the Biofield Tuning Institute, which is headquartered in Vermont, quite near to us. And it was founded by a scientist, a researcher, Eileen McCusick. And it is a therapeutic sound healing that works on a person's electromagnetic field. And when I first came across it, I was immediately drawn. Of course, you're a little skeptical, but my intuition like pulled me. And there really wasn't a doubt in my mind that I needed to look into it. And then before I knew it, I was signed up for their courses, everything from foundations to the practitioner training. And I'd like to do another one, an advanced level as well. But there are places, reputable places that are studying this. And many are merging with science institutes. So this might be helpful for some people listening who may be very new to, you know, what it is that I'm mentioning and talking about. There is a entity called IONS. It's an organization, the Institute for Noetic Sciences, and they are studying the crossroads of science and spirituality and where healing meet. And if you're not familiar with them, I'd highly recommend looking into what they have to offer. It makes it very palatable, makes it very real, because people always want science-based evidence. They want medical evidence, and they're really at the cutting edge of it. And they're headquartered out in California. So I've followed them for quite a while, but there are many educational platforms and resources for sound healing.
Yeah. Since you've fully dived headfirst into this and you tell people that you work in sound healing, energy healing, what's the response that you get? Is that, oh, you're a weirdo, or, oh, that's cool, let me learn more about that?
You know what? I'm glad you're asking that question, because I do feel like probably 80% of the time people are like, okay, cool, next person, because they are not familiar with it and they haven't been exposed and they haven't experienced. But then again, people come into your experience, they cross your path for a reason, and everyone is in your path for a reason. There's no accidents in the universe. It's all meant. So it could be that this person, maybe you're going to open their eyes or they're going to open yours. I would say more often than not here, actually in New England, when I do tell people what I'm doing, they are just not familiar with it. But then again, when people are familiar with this, you know, area, whether it's sound healing, energy work, chakra work, I think that's a word we haven't mentioned so far. When they are familiar with it, they light up and they open up. So I think, again, there's a birth happening. And I also think it's generational. So if you look at, I'm going to say this, our parents' generation, our grandparents' generation, it's very much like, this is what's accepted. This is what you do. I think is a divide. And they have woken up, if they've woken up later in life, where maybe they've turned into, there's something more here. But there's people of our generation and millennials who are like, yeah, there's totally something here. I believe this, or I've been to sessions before, or I've tried this and it works and I feel shifted. So I think it's generational as well.
When you do any Google search, and which I was doing a few hours earlier, of energy healing, it said something to the effect of complement to modern medicine may work, may have some benefits. I was telling you before we started that I saw a doctor last week, and that I've been dealing with some right knee issues. He said, you may have a torn meniscus, or maybe you're just dealing with some tightness like along your leg. Let's get you an MRI and then we'll go over it together. So I'm curious, do you think that for solving issues like these, that energy healing can be the sole solution, or is it a complement to getting in there and surgery or things like that?
So I never think it's a sole solution, right? As a practitioner, you know, I truly do believe that energy healing, that sound healing, is an adjunct to allopathic care or conventional care, meaning it can be used in addition to. I never want to say it's going to be used in place of. Like, if you break your arm, there, of course, is a role for modern medicine, modern Western medicine. Like, you're going to need to have your bone reset. That is not going to happen right now with energy healing. I absolutely believe that there is a place, of course, for modern Western medicine. So to answer your question, no, energy healing and sound healing are not a sole treatment for any ailment, any disease. And in fact, there are a couple conditions that if a person has them, I would not recommend sound healing because it can actually have adverse effects. I would not recommend it. So to give you an example, if someone is undergoing treatment for chemotherapy, their natural pathways to detoxification are blocked or obscured. So sound healing allows those pathways to release. I would not want to have someone who has blocked pathways with me in a sound healing that could have effects that we don't want. Additionally, if someone has a pacemaker is an electrical device. Sound emits frequency. I do not want to be impeding on someone's electrical device implant or pacemaker. So I definitely think each individual has to feel like this is the right treatment for me. Same as this is the right medical doctor for me. But if someone's at your doorstep, if someone's seeking your service, there's a reason why they're here. There's something that we can do to assist you. It may not be the one and only like thing you're going to use to heal, again, holistically, but it can definitely benefit whatever someone's going through.
Okay, perfect. That leads me to my next question. So here at Empowered Aura, someone comes to see you. What are primarily the issues that people are trying to solve?
Great question. So with a sound bath, like a group sound bath, primarily people will come here because they want to relax and because they want to really feel lighter. So the sound baths are done, if I'm doing a group session, they're done in a group. So it's a little less customized than if I'm working with someone one-on-one. And I typically see people that are wanting to have an experience with others, friends, family, where they can feel shifted, where the parasympathetic nervous system can activate so that your brain can turn off. And the parasympathetic nervous system, that state is the state that induces innate healing. That's the state of being that we arrive at when we sleep. So when we sleep, we regenerate. When we sleep, we heal, right? Your body can do that and do all of its innate functions. And that's what happens in a sound bath as people enter really a different state where their body can just decompress. The individual sessions though, people come here if they have something specific they want to work on, or if they have a few different intentions. I have a lot of people come because they've had chronic pain, you know, or they've had an injury or a surgery. Post-surgery and pre-surgery is actually a really popular time to do energy work because you want the surgery to go as smoothly as possible. And then you also want the healing post-surgery to go as smoothly as possible. I have a lot of people coming in for that. But then again, there's many clients that come because they feel a lot of mental fog or they feel very heavy, like they've been carrying around, I use the term expired energies, where in their energy field, they can't pinpoint it, but they just feel so sluggish. They feel so in such a low vibration. Those are usually things in the energy field that are coming up to be released because you cannot move forward while you're carrying them. So people will come for a number of different things, but the sessions, I work with what comes up in your energy field as a priority. So you may need more than one session in order to remove the layers of heaviness.
Yeah. I was going to ask that if that's the particular issue that we're dealing with, the heaviness, the fog, let's just put financial costs aside, like in an ideal world, how often should someone come have that heaviness removed? Is it a once a month, once every 6 months, once a year?
Yeah. It depends on the individual. But usually when people are coming, they want to take care of something, right? So I recommend, you know, every person's different and I have a pre-session conversation with them and then we have a post-session. We kind of have like a debrief, what happened in the session, what came up for them. There's sometimes a lot of tears that happen during that. And at that point, I will tell them, you know, if it's their choice to come back, right? But I do recommend a series, 2 to 3 sessions to work on one specific thing. Because healing happens in layers and it's not all going to come at once. And you also need between sessions to have an integration period. Similar to if you're going to physical therapy, you're not going to do physical therapy, you know, every single day. You're going to want to have an integration period. So a lot of people will do biweekly for a series of 3. And then I have people come in once a month as well for routine care, or I just need a reset. You know, some people go get a massage. It's very similar. It's a self-care for your energy.
This is something I'm very passionate about. And I'm going to try to not sound judgmental in this.
Yeah.
There's so many people, especially in America, the UK, the Western world, who just are not in touch with themselves at all, very much just a part of the rat race and don't check in with themselves at all, don't do the physical work to upkeep, you know, maintain health, like healthy body weight and all those things that we need to do for our health, people who don't fuel themselves with the right nutrients to make their bodies run optimally, you know, just grab the quick, easy, convenient granola bar and there, boom, there's my calories and it's just loaded with sugar and whatnot. There's so many things that we do today that go directly against what our bodies and minds actually need. So I'm curious how you think about this. Is it, as someone who works in this field, what does it make you feel like when you just, I mean, the data is crazy just about how unhealthy people are, diabetes, cancer, all these things that didn't exist for our ancestors who, you know, took great care of, who took great care of themselves. Like when you hear these things just about how bad we treat our bodies, just how does that make you feel?
I can only speak from my own experience. And I think that part of my journey, my van adventure cross country, was reevaluating every aspect of my life. And I can tell you, there were ways that I used to treat my body that were not healthy and not productive. And I think it's up to every individual, because we as a human in this life, we create our life. We are responsible for everything in our life, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, believe it or not. Because at a soul level, you have chosen this. You have signed up for it. And you also have free will. That's the beauty of being in this life. So each individual is responsible for themselves, what they consume, whether it's news, what they read, who they surround themselves with, everything that they consume, including the water and the food that goes into their body. So my job here, you know, is to not take on someone else's journey or choices. My job, I believe, as a healer, is to facilitate a setting and an environment in which you can experience a higher frequency. But it is up to that individual to do what they need to do to maintain it. And you can feel when you shift down and when you shift up. You know, I see people that come in and they're really doing the work. They're doing the work physically. They're doing the work mentally. They're doing the work emotionally and spiritually. And I see others who come in who are looking for someone to relieve them almost of their suffering. Fix me. And I will never turn anyone away. I will just shed light on what I am observing. And I believe that the job of a healer, a holistic healer, is to help someone so much so that they don't need you anymore. And we're in a capitalistic society. People would say, well, don't you need clients, repeat clients? Well, yeah, repeat clients are wonderful. But, you know, one of the people that I refer to as one of my mentors said to me, she gave me the best advice. She said, my job is done when you don't need me. That is the biggest compliment you can give me. And I really feel like our generation is looking forward to not be dependent upon our healthcare system because it's broken, right? We don't want to be dependent upon something external to fix us. And I think that's a shift in awareness. Yeah.
Today at 36, being, you know, a couple of years into this kind of work now, how do you feel physically compared to how you did when you were 27?
Oh my God. Well, first of all, my birthday is Friday. So I'm not 36 just yet. Thank you. So I've been doing this work actually since I was 24. But I didn't want anyone to know about it because it wasn't acceptable. I couldn't accept myself. So I couldn't identify as being an energy healer. It was just hush, hush, and something I used to always be into on the side, even when I was a young girl, and I'd have such a passion for it. And I just said, well, you know, no one will really accept me like this. I will tell you, Troy, people that know me and how I feel younger now, and I look younger and I look better than I did when I was 25. And if like pictures too prove that. I ran into a neighbor, like my parents' neighbor. So my childhood home where I grew up, I haven't seen her in probably 9 or 10 years. Her name's Judy. And she literally was like, you look like you're 18. And I took it as a compliment. Thanks, Judy. But, I do feel so much lighter now emotionally, energetically, and mentally than I did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And I think it's because I'm living more authentically. And if I could tell anyone, if you live from your authentic self, not the culturally created self, not what everyone's told you is right, is successful. If you are truly living from your center, you will feel so much lighter because it's your truth.
Wow. That's incredible. And I'm sure that that will speak to a lot of people. There's one thing that I wanted to ask you that I failed to earlier. When you reintegrated back into society, you escaped the wilderness and came back to be with us earthlings. A lot of people, you know, go on retreats. They do digital detoxes, 30 days, a couple months. They have these profound experiences when they're away.
Yeah.
But then they come back. And it's like that thing never even happened at all.
Yeah.
So how did you make sure to integrate what you had learned from the wilderness, from that trip, and making sure that you didn't fall back into your old ways?
So this has to do with the crux of healing, which is it happens in layers. And I'm talking healing physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, where things will continue to come up in your life as themes or as experiences for you to look at and identify and say, do I want to participate in the way that I've been participating? And oftentimes your brain doesn't even allow you the opportunity to think about it. You're just already snapped back into that habit or that behavior or that way of speech or that way of thinking. I'm not going to lie, like I'm human too. And it has challenged me. But every time something comes up, whether it's with my family, with my friends, I want to say comparison as well, you know, because that's in your face constantly on media, on social media. It constantly comes up. And I think I'm just at a more observed, I've reached a perspective that's more observing. Like I observe myself and I observe my thoughts. And I'm really aware of what I want to participate in and how I want to conduct myself now, more so than ever before. And I think that'll just continue to evolve. And I think that's the point of living. You don't want to keep doing things the way you've been doing it if it didn't feel great or if it didn't work. Yeah.
And people just love being on autopilot and just...
It's easy.
It's easy.
It's familiar. And it's, quote, it's not comfortable, but it's familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people will go their entire lives just dealing with the familiar.
100%.
You mentioned something earlier that I'm dying to get to know more about, the chakras.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what they are? And B, why understanding them is necessary.
Yeah, sure. So the chakras, a lot of people hear that term and it's thrown around. But really, it's the premise of our well-being. And you can look at any culture that has ancient teachings, and it all identifies chakras, wheels, or energy centers in the body. So human beings, we have seven primary or major energy centers or chakras. So you have your root, you have your sacral, your solar plexus, your heart, your throat, your third eye, and your crown. Those are your seven primary or major chakras. And when they are spinning or orbiting fluidly, you should be in good health. But that fluid motion, that circular motion of this chakra, this wheel being able to replenish energy, really relates to our overall well-being and health. And when things get stuck or blocked in our energy field, that shows up in a chakra. So your energy field extends about 6 feet around you on either side and 3 feet above your head and below your feet. When you feel someone's vibe, when you feel someone's aura, when you get good vibes, bad vibes, you're sensing someone's energy field. You're not sensing them. Your energy field is interacting with theirs, even before they speak to you. If you're attracted to someone, the same thing happens. And you can sense it in your being. No one can deny that. So your energy field interacts with others. And your energy field holds record of all of your life experiences. And trauma, especially, can show up as distortion. When that happens, your chakras are affected. They get blocked. And that's when we tend to see, if they're blocked for a long period of time and the human isn't doing anything to assist, or they think they're doing the right things, but it's not really what the body needs or what the soul needs, they'll start to see disease or injury or illness or depression, emotional swings. So the chakras are a really important part of health. And I think that's what modern Western medicine is missing. We're not talking about the well-being of the energy being that we are. I'll go on to say one more point though, because a lot of people talk about the seven chakras. But there's actually more than that. And, so there's 12. We don't really talk about the other five, so to speak, but the other five are more ethereal. Nonetheless, still just as important, because it's actually what connects us to the earth, connects us to the sun, which is our energy center. I think the earth star chakra is something that's not talked about enough. And it is an energy center that sits, its home base sits about 10, 12 inches below the bottom of your feet. And it's actually what connects you to the earth. So if someone is practicing grounding, you're practicing rehoming your earth star. A lot of times people walk in here and their earth star is not in its home base because they're walking around, with not the fullest expression of their energy field. They're either in fear or they're depressed or there's something off. And so the earth star chakra gets pulled up and we say someone is ungrounded. Someone feels off-center, unbalanced. Grounding someone is one of the most common things I do with biofield tuning when they walk in here the first time. So seven primary energy centers, 12 that I really work with, and I think some healers really identify with and work with. If you want to get really into it, ancient Hindu texts, ancient Buddhist texts, there's actually 108 overall chakras. They can be...
Name all of them.
I can't name them all, but I will tell you that a lot of it can come up with acupuncture. So I'm not an acupuncturist, but they deal with the meridians and the energy channels. There are chakras all over our body that really develop our overall well-being or not. And 108 is a pretty sacred number in sacred geometry. So it's like the golden number. Pi, everything. There's a lot to it, but I would say for our listeners, seven primary energy centers, 12 overall that I work with. But there are quite a lot more than that.
If the average person wants to evaluate their chakras,
yeah,
do they have to go see a sound healer? Or are there any tells just in our, if we just want to check in with ourselves, Are there any signs that we can kind of point to understand if our chakras are out of whack?
Yeah. So I identify as a sound healer and an energy healer. You can also say intuitive as well. You can definitely go see someone, right? And they can use something as simple as a pendulum to assist you. You can also, I would ask you to simply observe, meditate. People are meditating. Oh, that's like step one in self-care. When it comes to observing yourself, it can be a little challenging though. So if someone is constantly in their head, which a lot of us are, it can be challenging to almost disassociate with that and say, what's really happening in my body? There are ailments or injuries, depending on where they are physically, where they're located, that can contribute to a blockage in a certain chakra. So if someone has something going on in the upper chest, below the jawline, it may have to do with their throat chakra being blocked. If someone's, you know, has severe migraines, or vertigo, it could have to do with their third eye or their upper chakra, so their crown. Someone has severe lower back pain, hips, sciatica, that's almost an indication of root or sacral. But I can tell you, Troy, there have been times where people come into my office, and I'm sure other practitioners, whether of energy healing or another modality, people walk into my office saying they have a certain symptom or an ailment, and I lay them on my massage table. And as I'm scanning their biofield with my pendulum and with the forks, things will come up and I'll say, hey, did something happen at this point in your life? Or are you having an issue with the shoulder blade or the clavicle? And they're like, oh yeah, that's from a long time ago. So just because something's presenting in a certain area of the body doesn't mean necessarily that it has to do with the chakra immediately at its immediate location or closest to it, if that makes sense.
We're actually going to do a sound healing at the end of this episode, so be sure to stick around for that. In a previous conversation, you told me, quote, that you believe sound is the future of medicine, which is a very strong statement that is interesting to me. Why do you believe that to be the case?
Okay, so number one, I do believe sound is the future of medicine. I believe it's a huge part of it. I believe there's also a lot more than sound that will go into that complementary hole. Edgar Cayce, people may have heard of him, talks about sound healing and frequency from decades ago being really the future of medicine as well. So sound, you know, people hear sound healing. It's not just audible sound. Sound frequency travels, it's a whole different wavelength. So you can have inaudible sound. So when we talk about in modern Western medicine, breaking up kidney stones, breaking up gallstones in a hospital setting, they're using pulses, ultrasonic waves to at a certain frequency that are meant to break up a certain blockage, a physical blockage in the body. And that's done today in hospital settings, and people receive those treatments. Sound can emit vibration, it can emit audible sound, or it can emit frequencies that we don't have the privilege of hearing with our physical ears as humans. But different frequencies will resonate with different organs, different body parts, different emotions. And if sound is absorbed over time, eventually those organs, those body parts, whatever it is that you're treating, as a human, you begin to resonate with that frequency, which is a higher frequency, and your body begins to entrain to it. Have you ever seen on social media or YouTube demonstrations of someone like throwing sand or salt on a table or a flat surface?
No.
And no?
No.
Okay. So you can literally Google any of this. YouTube it, whatever. There's a lot of demonstrations where someone will have a flat surface. They'll throw sand or flour or salt on that surface, and they will play an instrument, or they will emit a note from an instrument or a tool. And that sound will cause the matter on the surface, so the sand, the salt, to repatternize into a geometric shape. It's incredible.
Really?
Oh yeah. So if someone wants to start like from the beginning and they're saying, hey, Whitney, like we think what you're saying is pretty crazy. And if they've gotten this far in the podcast and they're like, we need some proof, go online and look this up. So sound at different frequencies will repatternize and reorganize matter. And what are we? We are matter. We are solid. We're basically, a lot of us are water as well, but water molecules will react to sound as well. And that's, since we're mostly made up of water, that's why sound healing has such huge effect. I have a book back here by, it's called Healing Power of Water. I'm going to blank on the guy's name. He is a Japanese scientist and researcher who has researched his whole life's work on the effects of sound on water. And it is incredible. I mean, you can speak into water and the vibrations and the sound from your voice will help, will repatternize the water depending on what you say to it. If you tell the water you love it, if you whisper compassion to it, as opposed to hate or horrible words or swears, I mean, the water will repatternize as such. So sound healing, I mean, there is a lot of evidence as to how this can assist us to raise our vibration, to increase our frequency, and to help break up any distortion that can cause disease or viruses or bacteria to develop.
You said that meditation is the number one thing that you should be doing for self-care purposes. I think people hear that term, they get intimidated by it because they have the idea of you know, of the Buddha sitting under a tree for a month, not eating and just being still, not doing anything, breathing. It sounds very difficult.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, remove that stigma. If someone wants to get into meditation, how do you do it? What's the number one piece of advice you could give? Hey, I want to start a meditation practice. How do I do it?
This might sound unconventional. How about starting with speaking kind intentions to yourself every day, or affirmations, words of affirmation? Your words are your thoughts manifested. Even if you're like, oh, I don't know if I believe this, the power of your word has a lot of sway in how your body and your energy field respond. If someone doesn't meditate, I would honestly tell them to start with words of affirmation every day and to speak kindly to yourself. From there, you can start with 5 minutes of meditation. No phone, no sound, no music playing.
No guide.
I mean, if you wanted to, I would honestly tell someone, and this is, I feel like if you could give yourself 5 minutes with yourself, because what does the guide do? It distracts you. It does guide you. And I listen, there's plenty of amazing meditations and people that facilitate and lead you through things. But if you don't meditate currently, you need to hear you. You may not even know what you sounds like, because if you're not meditating or spending time with yourself, that means the mind is running you.
How do you hear you? Because I am one to, I've been like in and out of meditation. There's sometimes where I'm really good at it and other times where I'm not, where I'll set the kitchen timer for 10 minutes and I sit there for 10 minutes in complete silence, but my mind is the opposite of silence. And so it's just 10 minutes of just thoughts racing around.
I hear you. And sometimes, hey, listen, sometimes we go to sit for meditation and our mind, it's a monkey mind. It doesn't shut off. But in this life as a human, I truly believe, so I've read and studied a lot about the Buddhist principles and the, you know, the Four Noble Truths. And I really believe our mind is in the way of us. It's very helpful in facilitating logistics and tasks and organizing and prioritizing when we enlist it from a place of truth. But if we let our mind drive us, it will drive us crazy. I think you asked, your question was, how do you hear yourself? Or
Yeah, how can I, essentially I'm being selfish, how can I do a better job of when I'm having the monkey mind, shutting it off?
Don't judge and just practice more. So a lot of times, and I have monkey mind too, right?
We all do. It's impossible not to in this modern, you know, we have not always had monkey minds.
No,
at the beginning of human time, our foremost thoughts every day were survival,
yeah,
food, shelter, warmth, don't get eaten by the tiger.
Look how far we've come.
Yeah.
Away
now
from that.
We have zero concerns in this part of the world, zero concerns for any of that. And so now, you know, the human mind is accustomed to having problems and solving problems. So we are now kind of creating our own problems that don't actually exist,
but they're
happening in our minds.
Yeah. I think the mind is the thing that we need to most overcome, because we need to be in control of our mind and not our mind in control of us. And the mind will only project and portray and replay the things that it knows from the past. That's how it projects. You could also envision or visualize. That's very positive meditation. But normally when the mind is just running rampant, it is projecting things into the future based on what's happened in your past experiences. And it's real. The undercurrent of it is fear. The mind, more times than not, drives us crazy with fear because it doesn't want us to get hurt emotionally, physically, mentally. The mind doesn't really involve your soul or spirit too much, or your energy field. What I will tell you though is, if you're practicing meditation, you finally hear yourself through what you feel rather than what you think, because you're not your thoughts. If a certain sensation comes up in you, if you're asking yourself a question like, hey, should I move this way? Should I do this? Is this the right direction for me? Or how do I handle this? The subtle intuitions you receive are going to be through your feeling and your sensation, not necessarily how the mind works it out. Because the mind will always tug against the intuition. I've learned that. And, you know, again, it's my experience, but I've also, I've heard others talk about it as well. And some of the greatest teachers talk about the mind just being, it should be under our control. We shouldn't be under its control. Yeah.
How much time do you spend alone versus with others? And how important is it to seek that solitude, which people are often afraid of?
Good question. I do get energized from people. 10 years ago, Troy, I wanted to be around people all the time because that was what I knew. And that's where I got my energy from. And that's also where I found a lot of my worth from, which is another conversation. I don't need to spend time with others in order to be validated any longer. And you want to know something? Boundaries have come up as a result of that, whereas previously I really didn't have many. And I think that's a theme for a lot of us, you know, whether you're an individual, a mother, a father, a colleague, whatever, a friend, if you're in a relationship with someone, I have very clear boundaries now. And if it makes someone upset, if it makes a loved one upset, makes a friend upset, I'm being true to me. And if I'm being true to me, that means I'm also doing the best for everyone else. You know, and I know boundaries can be difficult for people to establish and to keep. Priorities shift. I would encourage people to find alone time, though. Try to every day, more so than just the bathroom and the shower. Even if you have children, which I know can be difficult. I have a lot of friends. You know, I'm in my 30s. Like, I got friends with 1, 2, 3 children and counting and pregnant. And, you know, it can be difficult to find alone time. But even if you have a significant other that you live with, I think it is so important to have you every day, a little time for you. Because it's so easy to get wrapped up in this world where everything is a distraction. You could be distracted 24/7 if you wanted to. I mean, it's not hard. And I have friends that are like that. I have family members that are like that. And it all has to do with the fact they don't want to be alone with their thoughts and with their feelings, because they don't like what they're feeling. If I have people around me, It's going to distract me from what I really feel that needs to come up to be released. So I'm going to push it down. I'm going to go to the bar. I'm going to drink, which there's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to go to this party. I got my calendar booked. I have literally every minute of the day. I'm so busy with work. I'm getting coffee with this person. I have a date. I have this engagement. I have that. When is the time for you? When you sleep? When is the time to process? And a lot of people say, oh, I got, you know, I close my door for 10 minutes in the morning before I start my workday. Well, yeah, but you're already thinking about everything you need to do for work because your whole calendar is booked. So try to seek some solace with yourself at a period of time where you're not just crunched to then start your tasks, because your mind is going to hop to those tasks, right?
I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours about all of these things. We won't do that. Before we do our demonstration, I have one final question for you that I haven't asked yet. You could have taken all of this knowledge and this work and just kept it for yourself to make sure that you become the best you possible, but you instead chose to make it a business and make it kind of your life's work. Why spread this to other people and not just keep it for yourself?
I'm not on this earth for myself. We are, but we're not, right? I do spend an awful lot of time in solitude, which was a choice. It was a shift in my life. And I do need ample space still. But I think this is too important to not share. And I'm not the only one doing it. But I am the only one who's Whitney, right? So this is my take on it. And I'd like to think that I'm, you know, I continue to be a student of life and I continue to be a student of a lot of things. I don't believe you're ever done learning. And for me, like I read a lot, I research a lot. I'm fascinated. I'm very inquisitive and curious about things. And I want to know more and I want to experience more, but I don't want to keep it for myself. I think that there's a huge conversation to be had here, and a lot of people want to be feeling differently, but don't know how to get there and are looking for outlets. So, you know, this space, I just opened this physical space in July of last year. So it's still in its infancy, in the community and here in this location. But I think that there is a much bigger conversation to be had. And just over the past, you know, 2 months, I know I went away for a little bit, but there have been people that have reached out. So I think the next step, it looks like, is collaborations and partnerships on a broader scale with some surrounding holistic wellness practices and studios, which would be really wonderful because I think the platform's growing and can be applied to a larger audience. You know, we're here to leave some stuff behind once we're done with this lifetime. So that's what I'd like to do.
Well, you're doing great work.
Thanks.
You've mentioned that this generation is kind of starting to wake up to the alternate ways of medicine that we've been discussing here today. I work in media. I work in the, you know, the distraction business, if you will. So many of my friends, Troy, you got to watch this TV show. You love it. You got to watch this movie. You love it. And I'm just like, no. when I'm not working, I don't want to be in front of a screen.
Yeah.
I don't want to distract myself even more. When I'm not working, this is my me time. I'm going for a walk. I'm going off into solitude or spending some well-intentioned time with someone or I'm exercising. I don't have time to distract myself with those things or interest. The mission is too big. But I do feel myself, and maybe I'm biased because I work in the distraction field. And so I myself am very aware of what it's doing to people. But it does feel like outside of that, there is just people are in on what these social media companies are doing. We understand that if it's free, we're the product. Everyone's trying to hack our attention. Everyone's trying to sell us things. And this is now, I think we're realizing within the last few years that this is really not to our benefit. It is to our detriment. And I think people are being awoken to all the different ways that our modern world is going directly against what we human beings fundamentally need.
Yeah. Yeah. Never has there been a time in human history in such a short time span.
It happened so quickly.
So, I mean, like the internet happened, what, 25 years ago?
I would argue that the past 20 years, there has been more change in the way we live and operate in the last 20 years than there has in any other 20-year period in the last 2,000 years, in the AD period.
Yeah. Millennia. Yeah. Like beyond that.
It's crazy.
And here's the thing though. Our biology, our physiology has not evolved.
Our brains are ancient.
Exactly. So if we haven't evolved at that pace, that, you know, we still have the same attention span and everything that we're doing now is so far out of our circadian rhythm and our natural processes. I really think there's going to be a stark twist back to what is really innate, what is natural.
I really hope so. We've created so many physical and mental problems as a result of all these things that are technology is supposed to improve our lives. At the root, that's what technology is and makes our lives better. And then I see last month Apple unveils these Apple Vision Pro goggles. And I'm just like, who needs this? What is this solving? This is cool. It's a celebration of human achievement and what we're capable of. It's an amazing technological accomplishment. But why do we need this? You're telling me you're going to go sit in a coffee shop with these goggles on to do your work and you're around people, but you're shunning them because you can't see them? How does this make the world better? And there's just so many things every day where I'm just like, what are we doing? We're not meant to operate in this world.
True. And I think it's up to every individual to have their choice in what they're going to participate in and what they're going to consume and how much. And some may continue to just consume and buy in and buy in. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? We all have choice. So how someone wants to live their life is, I really think it's an individual choice. Yeah.
You said that much more eloquently than I did. Let's finish off with a demonstration of you. What are we going to do here? And then I'll take your microphone after you explain and then I'll hold it up for you.
All right. So sound healing, I know we talked about it, but you can really use, there's a plethora of instruments, everything from native handmade instruments to different types of singing bowls, crystal bowls. There's so much drums. I have here, there's an example of one crystal bowl, which you felt resonated most with you. So this is the crystal bowl for the third eye. It plays the note A, which resonates with the third eye, really the pineal gland. So I'm going to play the crystal bowl. And then I'm also going to give an example of my tuning forks, which is, I have a number of tuning forks that are used in a biofield tuning session. Some are weighted, which means they emit vibration. So I use them on the physical body, primarily, and also in the field, the energy field. And then the unweighted tuning fork, I'm going to demonstrate, emits sound. And that frequency resonates with the throat chakra. So we'll give you a demonstration.
Okay.
See how it goes.
It's incredible how piercing that sound is. And I don't mean in an unpleasant way. It's just you feel it immediately and you feel it deep within you.
So I actually didn't even play it that hard because so the crystal bowls, depending on the pressure that you're applying to the mallet, what mallet you're using, and then also the duration that you're orbiting, it all... depends on, you know, that produces the sound, but that's for your third eye. And if we were to come in for a sound bath, we would be playing that tone, emitting that tone to move any, I would say, static or, incoherent energy from that energy center. And as it's moved, the repetition of that sound will allow your energy center to entrain to a higher frequency. So basically clearing that energy center. Well, go ahead. Were you going to say something?
No. I'll demonstrate this one. This one doesn't emit sound, but it does. You may be able to hear it. So it creates a vibration. I'll do it on your arm, Troy. So this is one of the weighted forks that are used and at various points in the body. And the weighted forks primarily help to alleviate pain, believe it or not. So they're going to produce a beat within the physical body. And there's, again, repetition during a session. But this is, they are incredible tools. Did you feel it?
Wow.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. So I feel great.
Actually, if it's placed right over the sternum, I know you're sitting forward, but and someone breathes, it helps to completely open up the chest cavity and really take a full breath.
Wow. Well, this is very impressive work. And I can't, I mean, you're like you said, you're in the infancy of this business, but I can't wait to see where it goes. I love walking by it every day. Yeah. And, I think you've convinced me. I'm going to come back here for sure and get something on the books with you. Whitney, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Like I said, I could talk to you for hours on end, but we have to say goodbye for now. But thank you and good luck with everything.
All right. Thanks so much, Troy.